Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie.
Kyrie eleison.
us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they had turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your ways, O Lord. God of my salvation, teach me your ways, O Lord, teach me your ways. Remember your compassion, O Lord, and your merciful love, for they are from of old. In your merciful love, remember me, because of your goodness, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord, teach me. Upright is the Lord. He shows the way to sinners. He guides the humble in right judgment. To the humble he teaches his way. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes I fear that we in the church have been embarrassed by and almost abandoned the idea of evangelization. This is not without reason. We have seen in recent years a brand of evangelization that is little more than beautifully packaged, slickly marketed, and highly profitable religion. The appeal has been basically emotional, And the results have been predictably short-lived and seemingly meaningless. It isn't surprising that we should disassociate ourselves from religious salesmanship. But we must not make the mistake of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Our gospel reading for today reminds us that our Lord was an evangelist in the truest sense of the word, and he called his disciples to be the same. One day, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw four fishermen casting their nets into the sea. Doubtless, they were good at their trade. Christ watched them for a while and then challenged them with this invitation: "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That is a true picture of evangelization. The Lord called men to follow him and then sent them out to call others to do the same. On and on it went in a chain reaction of love until it reached all the way to our present time. You and I are here today because someone reached out to us with the gospel message. Doesn't it stand to reason that we should do the same for someone else? If this faith in Christ is worth having at all, then it must surely be worth sharing with others. That, it seems to me, is the only kind of evangelization that makes sense. One person who has experienced faith in Christ, openly and honestly commending it to another. From our reading, I want to point out three things about evangelization as our Lord practiced it. First of all, it is personal. With Christ, people were never just numbers. They were names. They were faces. They were individuals with problems, possibilities, hopes and dreams, fears and aspirations. Throughout his ministry, Christ emphasized the personal nature of evangelization. He told parables about one shepherd searching for one sheep, about one woman in quest of one coin, and about one father waiting and longing for one son. He preached his sermon on the new birth to one man, and his sermon on the living water to one woman. He believed wholeheartedly in the worth and dignity of every individual before God. In another place, this same Gospel of St. Mark tells of a day when our Lord was walking down a crowded street. People were there, crowding him on every side. Amongst the people was one timid but very desperate woman. For 12 years, she had been sick, searching for help and finding none. Then she heard of Christ. Little by little, she pushed her way through the crowd and reached out to touch the hem of his garment. Immediately, the Lord knew she was there, turned around, singled her out of the crowd, and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. All of this means that with Christ, no one ever gets lost in the crowd. Everyone is an individual of infinite worth. Everyone is important. Everyone counts with God. The evangelization of Christ was always personal, and ours, if it is real, must be the same. Secondly, evangelization is persuasive. The Lord called the four fishermen to come follow him. It was an urgent invitation to the men, but he did not force them. The people to whom that invitation was addressed were still free to accept or reject it. We know, of course, that they accepted, not because they were forced, but because they were convinced and attracted by the life of the man who called them. That is the strongest kind of evangelization in the world. An invitation by an individual who is a living image of the love of God. This could be where we have one of our biggest problems with evangelization. All too often, the sermons we preach are contradicted by the lives that we live. We talk about a God who loves all people alike. But the world looks at us and finds the same bigotry that they see in worldly people who make no claim to be Christian. We talk about the supreme importance of spiritual values. But people look at us and see the same greed and grasping and selfishness that belongs to a world that does not recognize or accept God. The only kind of evangelization that makes any sense at all is a testimony backed up by an example. If Christ has not made a difference in our lives, why should we expect people to believe that he could make a difference in theirs? Third and last, the evangelization of Christ is positive. It involves action. To fish for men suggests something more than a casual religious involvement. It speaks of a purpose, a resolve, and an expenditure of energy. Christ found four fishermen of Galilee, not by accident, but by design. He chose them. He worked at it. He was looking for them, and in turn, he sent them out to look for others. Years ago, Reader's Digest carried the story of a dramatic rescue in a little Texas town. On a hot July afternoon, on the west side of the town, a large grain elevator had exploded and started to burn. Four men were killed outright and three died later. But most of the drama revolved around a young man who was trapped at the top of the grain elevator, some 100 feet above the ground. All he could do was to stand at the window and plead with the people below for help. It was immediately obvious that the only hope of rescue was a helicopter, because there was no way to reach him from the ground. call went out to the nearby Air Force base, and in a few minutes, a helicopter was on the scene. However, the helicopter was damaged in the rescue attempt and forced to make an emergency landing in a nearby field. Then a call went out for a second helicopter. In the meantime, it seemed that nothing could be done but to wait and to hope. So the people waited and anxiously searched the skies for approaching help. But in the crowd that day was a thoughtful young man who decided to do something more than just wait and hope. He got into his truck, drove to the site of the damaged helicopter, and asked the captain to radio the incoming helicopter to land and take him on board. His request was honored. And shortly, he was high in the air, hovering above the elevator and the trapped man. The pilot moved into position. The two men locked arms, and together they were pulled into the safety of the helicopter. The point of the story is this. There were hundreds of people present that day, and it would probably be safe to say that all of them cared. Many of them were praying. But there was one young man who cared and prayed and acted. And it was his prayerful concern, coupled with his decisive action, that resulted in a dramatic rescue. This is what we need. It isn't enough to care. It isn't even enough to pray. There must be someone who is willing to bridge the gap between concern and action. Otherwise, the rescue will not take place. Positive action is the only kind of evangelization that makes any sense. When Christ came into this world to announce the good news of the gospel, to evangelize humanity, his message was personal for each and every individual. It was persuasive because he lived it and redeemed humanity by taking action and laying down his life on the cross for our salvation. Christ has called us to follow in his footsteps, to be evangelizers and fishers of men. And that means that we too must reach out to each person we encounter, live the gospel, and love enough to give ourselves sacrificially for the salvation of others. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us bring our needs and the needs of the world to God, who has invited us to change our ways and follow the path to holiness.
For our church, as we proclaim the Lord's call to repentance and discipleship, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who hear Christ's call to the priesthood and religious life, for wise and understanding directors of their formation, and for the support of their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the grace to turn from actions that are not life-giving, may we repent and embrace God's mercy and love. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those involved in Catholic schools, for teachers, students, administrators, staff, and parents, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the safety of the men and women of our armed forces, for their families, and for all those who place their lives in danger in the service of others, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Pete and Minnie Gonzalez, Mary Frances Alvarez, Juanita Martinez, Patsy Hinojosa, and Joe Cueva, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Special prayers and blessings this morning for Jim and Jackie Rome as they celebrate their 63rd wedding anniversary, and also for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all our intentions spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God, you call us to repentance and discipleship. Teach us to change our hearts and follow you faithfully. We ask for this and all our prayers in the name of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hand. Pray for our
good. Let us pray. Accept our offerings, O Lord, we pray, and in sanctifying them grant that they may profit us for salvation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
the mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will. Who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.